With recreational marijuana joining medical marijuana as legal, how will Californians roll with this new market? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with the San Francisco Chronicle's cannabis editor about regulators, dispensaries, and consumers of the fruits and flowers of Prop 64. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening, of course. For this, our first live show of 2018, we are looking at the now legal recreational marijuana market in California. And to help us unpack it is David Downs. David is the cannabis editor at the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, of course, our plan was a general overview with deeper dives into regulations, readiness, and other potholes on the road to legalization. Then U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions threw a spike strip across that road when he announced the federal government was getting back into the criminalization of marijuana practice. Under President Obama, there was a policy that let states decide their own pot destinies. Now, not every politician on the right is down with how marijuana is being treated. Here's Congressman Trey Gowdy as he questions a Trump official on Capitol Hill about how the administration sees marijuana.
Well, just so everyone's clear, methamphetamine is scheduled what?
I believe it's scheduled
2. Cocaine is scheduled what?
Also 2.
Cocaine base is scheduled what?
2.
So it is scheduled lower than marijuana.
That's literally insane to me. Okay, here's part 4 of my chat with David Downs, Green State editor at the San Francisco Chronicle. You mentioned kids there, and I'm reminded of George Carlin saying, what about the children? What about these regs and children?
I see keeping cannabis away from kids as one of the primary movers of legalization in general. A lot of people forget that cannabis has been widely available to teens since the 70s. We've asked teens since then in government surveys.
In fairness, David, that was ditch weed that you were getting in the 70s. This stuff today is really strong.
In fairness, people were also sticking that ditch weed in 6-foot bongs and ripping it and making it into edibles and stuff. And hash had already been around. And some people still could grow it good back then.
All right.
Yes, it's more potent now, but you also smoke a lot less of it now. I mean, even dabs literally means like that much is a dab.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is cannabis has been available to kids. And under a taxation and control regime similar to alcohol or and tobacco, regulations promise to slash the rate of teen use of cannabis fractions of what it's been over the last 5 decades, similar to what's happened to the tobacco control story in America. One of the most immense public health victories in modern American history. Mm-hmm. We've reduced tobacco use by like 90% among young people. They're never going to start. They're never going to die from tobacco. And with that type of tax control and messaging, they promise to push down teen use like never before. We also have seen that other states who've had legalization or medical marijuana have not seen increases in teen use. They've already had high uses of marijuana in those states because of the past, and that's often, you know, part of the culture that allowed that state to legalize. But bottom line is it hasn't gotten worse and it's starting to get better. And then with the regulations, it's all about limiting access. There's going to be minor decoys going into dispensaries looking like they're under 21. Police officers, you know, trying to get away with not being carded.
Narcs.
Basically. Yeah. And they're going to be out there doing stings and punishing anybody who sells to under 21s. There's still a bunch of rules around, you know, preventing access to teens. You can get in trouble if you give it to them, get shoulder tapped and you provide it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the teens themselves get in trouble, you know, they're going to try to keep them out of the criminal justice system, get them education, get them resources, try not to stigmatize them for the rest of their life
for
something, you know, that teens can do. So I'm seeing regulators from the state, city, county level all be interested in limiting access to people who shouldn't use it. And when it comes in this regime of it's normal for adults 21 and over, you can say to a kid, this is just like alcohol. This is just like tobacco. This is just like chainsaws. It's not for kids.
Right.
You got to be an adult. You have to have an adult brain on your shoulders before you even consider using this. Versus when you throw it all out and say no one can ever use it, you just make it a kind of exotic thing
for
kids to try to do and rebel. Now mom's drinking cannabis tea or grandma's drinking cannabis tea. There's nothing cool about that.
No.
It's done. The cool factor is done. Find something else, kids.
Nope.
And, you know, the National Institute on Drug Abuse is saying that, like, you know, nationally, kids are smoking less pot, and we don't know why, and we think, and they're doing less drugs in general. They're doing less risky things in general.
Right.
And they think it's because they're inside on social media day and night, jacked in and heavily addicted to video games and social media. Like, that's going to be the new target for public health messaging for our teens.
That's your new brain on drugs.
Yeah. Well, and
that's your dopamine main
apps
vein.
Apps and algorithms are designed to be as sticky as possible, and they're constantly being refined. I know I'm hooked to Twitter, and it's a toxic relationship.
Well, the social engineering really is a factor that we've covered on this show a lot, and it's a big deal, and you probably
go to sleep with it. They wake up with it. It controls their lives, and it's making them profoundly unhappy.
Yeah, that's very sad, but there's always pot out there.
Yes, if you want to disconnect, cannabis is there.
David Downs, before I let you go, let's get your punch list for getting California ready, okay? Give me like anywhere between 3-5 items. Like, what do you need to see happen so that this transition is not a brutal, bloody mess?
We need to see the supply chain from seed to sale get unkinked in California. Right now, that supply chain has a lot of knots.
Okay.
And so, for example, we need local cities and counties to permit farms, permit distributors, permit manufacturers, permit processors, permit packagers, as well as permit stores. And so you have that full supply chain. So when you walk into a store, there's stuff that's on the shelf that you can actually buy that's been licensed and passed through the supply chain. We're seeing that in fits and starts around the state, and you're seeing different cities and counties just start to learn from each other how to do this, what rules would look like. And so we're going to have to see a lot more learnings in the new year, sort of like statewide conferences of regulators. In fact, we're starting to see the first state pot regulators associations being formed, where they're going to get together and
like
go,
a trade group.
This is how we do it in Humboldt. Well, this is how we do it in San Diego.
Right.
Oh, you should do this and we should do that. That type of learning hadn't been occurring before. Every regulator and every jurisdiction was in their own silo. Now they're beginning to talk. They're beginning to share. They're beginning to copy. And we're going to see a supply chain come online slowly in 2018.
If only there was a website that had the resources that we've just discussed in detail that people could footnote link to back and forth. Are you aware of any such website?
The Bureau of Cannabis Control is the place to go for a clearinghouse of information on how to get a license and how to be a regulator in California. And it's really a breakthrough because, you know, legalization has been a populist-led thing. It's been a citizen-led thing. And so the last groups to change, the slowest to change, are always the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the institutions are incredibly powerful and are the drivers of change amongst each other. And we're just now starting to see the state institutions, the Department of Food and Agriculture, the Department of Public Health, this new Bureau of Cannabis Control, issue these rules back to the beginning and get everybody on the same page and start encouraging people to share and talk. That's really going to be the thing that puts this over the top and takes it from like a pie in the sky idea, we should have legalization, to a nitty gritty. The regulators are hired, they're working, they're doing their jobs, they're promulgating rules, they're setting standards,
right,
and they're being enforced.
Right, and they're setting the boundaries. You know, they often say in Silicon Valley that regulation stifles innovation, but it seems like this, when you have the rails being set by regulators, then everybody stays in their lane, and then you have a way to innovate within those regulations.
Yeah, and the regulations are going to be bad before they get better,
sure,
but the great thing about regulations is you can change them.
Right.
It's not a constitutional amendment. We don't have to go back to the voters and have them try to do some vote to like change a tiny little thing that fixes edibles potency.
Right.
This is going to be a continual work in progress. It's going to be a process of constant feedback, and victory will go to those that engage. The problem is the last 50 years of cannabis, you know, industry has prided itself on turning on, tuning in, dropping out, not filling out paperwork, not taking licenses, sort of damn the man, we're doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Now it's the full inverse of that.
Yes.
Like the future belongs to the people who engage the most.
You want to plug your site?
I'm David Downs. Everybody go to greenstate.com. That's the San Francisco Chronicle's new cannabis interest website. We have everything you need to know to be an active citizen in California with regard to cannabis. And we're going to be crushing it in 2018.
10 highlights and lowlights from California's new marijuana rules. California's coolest cannabis-friendly Airbnbs. These are stories that are on David's site. Probably written mostly by you, I would imagine, right?
I have a big freelance budget, and there's a lot of great writers out there, but yeah.
Very cool. California farm sizes questioned. Hotel Standard partners with Lord Jones. Gorilla Glue takes it. What? What's the Gorilla Glue story? What's that about?
Gorilla Glue is the number one strain in America right now, and it just won another award this weekend up in Humboldt County. It's a strain to try if, you know, you're into fashionable flavors.
Sounds like it packs a wallop.
It does, and it's very sticky, hence the name the Gorilla Glue.
David Downs, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That was David Downs. David is the Green State / Cannabis Editor at the San Francisco Chronicle. As we mentioned at the top of this segment, the feds want to roll back state-level protection when it comes to legalized marijuana in any form. Jeff Sessions has actually likened pot to heroin before. But Sessions told us what he was going to do last year in Congress if we were listening.
We will take a look at it. We'll be looking at some rigorous analysis of the marijuana usage and how it plays out. I'm not as optimistic as you.
This administration's approach to marijuana flies in the face not only of verified, concrete, scientific evidence, but also of the general zeitgeist in this country about legal usage of pot, recreationally or medically. It also belies another solid truth, that governments need taxes, and marijuana is a king cash crop. And there's that whole opioid epidemic that's killing tens of thousands of people each year in this country. And marijuana is actually helpful in treating those addicts, thus saving lives. Hopefully, the Trump administration will continue to focus on other follies and not this one. And that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And please contact us. We try to stay social all week long. I'm on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason. We are also at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And our entire archive of shows can be found at KGORadio.com/Techonomics, as well as on Stitcher and Audio Boom. Just keyword search Techonomics. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.